Morning is out of Colossians chapter 3. We'll be reading verse 5 and verse 8. I'm reading from the New King James Family Bible Study. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all things: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy language out of your mouth.
What's the two verses talking about? Norris just read for us. You pay attention to what it was talking about: living, how we're supposed to live. And when we go further than that, it's talking about us, each one of us as Christians, how are we supposed to live? It's important that we look at ourselves. And Vacation Bible School, and this week we're going to be talking to our young people every night, and we're going to be encouraging them. We're going to be doing the same thing out here in the auditorium with the adults. I think there's three things, as we pay attention to what Norris read for us, that we can instill in our young people's minds, that we can instill in our minds. And there are the three L's, actually. If you like to remember something, there's three L's. Number one, God expects and God wants each one of us to be loving. In other words, we need to love. We need to listen. And then we need to live. Love, listen, and live. And that's the three things I want us to mention this morning, three things I want us to talk about, and I'll do my best. Nick, first thing, he caught it real quick this morning when I walked in. He said, "What's wrong with your eye?" So I've got something embedded in my eye, and I can't see it out of my left eye good. I'm going to go see about it after church or tomorrow or sometime. So it wasn't really even having me do any good for me to have notes in front of me, because I can't read them, I can't see them. But I'm going to do the best I can. But the three things I want us to think about is loving, listening, and living. First of all, loving. How important is it that we love? That we have a loving heart, that we have a loving desire, we have a loving intent within ourselves, that we're that person. We're the person that we know, or people know, that if they come to us, that they're going to have compassion. When they look us in the eye, when they talk to us, they know that we are a person or persons that love. I have a couple little stories I want to read to you. It's about Vacation Bible School. I think it brings home a point. I think it helps us to understand these three L's. Some of them's funny. It said an assignment was given to a class. And in that class, the teacher asked at the end, "What did you learn from the work you did today?" One boy said that if you get too much water on the stickers, they won't stick. Second thing, what did we learn from the story of Jonah and the whale? A little girl said, "We learned that people make whales sick." A youngster went home after Vacation Bible School and said to his father, "Today we heard a wonderful story from the Bible. The teacher said the Jews were chased out of Egypt by Egyptian tanks. When they came to the Red Sea, the Jews saw the Egyptian tanks coming after them, so they built a bridge. They went over safely. But when the Egyptians kept coming, they blew up the bridge with an atomic bomb, and the Egyptians were destroyed." His father said, "Did the teacher really tell you the story that way?" The little boy said, "No, but if I told you how she did tell the story, you'd never believe it." Another lady said, "When I picked up my two boys from the last day of VBS, I asked if they would like to attend next summer. And they said, 'Yes, but next year it should only be 4 days long.' I was puzzled, so I asked, 'Why only 4 days? My five-year-old said, "Because it's too hard to be good 5 days in a row." our young people. They got imagination. They got big ideas in their mind. And it's up to us, each one of us, to instill and impress in their hearts and in their minds. And please, please, please pay attention to these three L's this morning. Loving. A little boy or a father told his little boy, I love you when you're good. The little boy looked back at the daddy and said, I love you when you're good and bad, daddy. When do we love? Do we love people when things are good, or do we love people even if things are bad? You know, God loves us. God loves us all the time. He loves us when we're good, Charles, and he loves us when we're bad. He may be disappointed in us when we're bad, and he looks down and he wants us to change, but yet he still loves us either way. Prodigal son, anybody remember the story? Luke chapter 15. Let's look there real quick. Turn your Bibles there with me. We're not going to read the whole story. Just a few things I want to point out to you when we think about the prodigal son. First few verses there. Starting with verse 12 of Luke 15. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall upon me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on righteous living. Think about that. I love you when things are good, or I love you when things are good and bad. Picture this for just a minute. A young man comes to his father, and he says, I want my inheritance. I want what I've got coming to me. Now, just put yourself there for a minute. David, what would be your response? You know, we'd want to say, son, wait a minute. You don't need this right now. You can't handle this right now. You don't need this in your life. You will be better off if you don't waste your money, and somewhere down the road later on in life, you're going to need this and you're going to want this so much more. And I can just see how we would plead with our own and say, please don't do this. But then I continue to ask, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And finally he gives in and he gives him everything that he asks. You imagine that day, Kyle, when you finally get everything you ask for? You're happy, aren't you? You gather it up. Maybe he goes and jumps on his bed in the bedroom and he just looks at all of his money and he says, boy, I'm on top of the world right now. This is what I want. This is what I need. This has changed my life. And the whole time the father is thinking to himself, this is not good. But because he asked, I give it to him. Think about that young man in his bedroom. He come up with a plan. His plan was, I'm going to go and I'm going to do big things in my life. And I'm going to take this money that I've got. And he cut a trail and he was gone. Oh, he was living large. He was living good. He was throwing dollar bills around like it was nothing. And when he started showing all the cash he had, all those people started saying, hey, you're a good friend of mine. And it wasn't long. He got a group together, a gang together, and they had a party. And their life was a party every day. As long as his money held out, they had a party and they had a good time. Now, I'm not going to go back and read on down to where we're going to get to, but he got to a point that he run out of what? Money. And when he did, he run out of friends. And when he run out of friends, he had to figure out a way to survive. It's funny when things are going good, a lot of people gather around. Boy, when things start turning south on you, where's all my buddies at? Where's all my friends? Well, this old boy here, he got hungry. He went out and he fed some pigs. He sat there and contemplated, looking at the flock, the feeds they were feeding them. He got to where it looking good to him. got to the point that he realized he had gone so far in his life, he was no better off than the pigs. He had traveled down a road that possibly his father told him, don't go down that road. You don't need to go down that road. Don't do this. And he realized, I am no better than these hogs that I'm feeding here. But then a light come on in his mind, in his head. And he said, wait a minute, the servants, the ones that work for my father, they have better than I have right now. I'm going to go back. And he rehearsed what he was going to say. He thought about it. He was worried, brought up in class. Sometimes it's hard to say I'm sorry. We worry about the connection when we go back to someone. I think David brought it up in class, or Nick won this morning. We worry about the conflict when I actually go back for the first time. It's a little unpleasant. It's not good. Are they going to accept me? Are they going to want me? Are they going to make fun of me? What's going to happen? But don't forget, and we're going to move on, but don't forget in this story, in this parable, this guy had nowhere else to turn. He was past the point of what my daddy's going to think, what my brother's going to think, what anybody else is going to think. He said, this is my only option. I've got to go back. And then if you're still there, look at verse 20. He's done practice. You look at verse 19. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He had practiced this. He said it when he got there. But look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Two words in there. When we think about it, we've got to be loving. Two words. Anybody pick up on them? First one started with a C. Compassion. How compassionate are we? Are we a people? Are you a person that shows compassion to other people? You know, we got to show compassion when the other people's not at their best. That's when they need it. That's when they need it more than any other time, is when they're not at their best. So in ours, that's when we've got to be at our best. But it's easy to just put someone aside. Now think about this for just a minute. Here you come. Somebody's coming. He's needing. He's wanting. He made some bad choices. He made some bad decisions. He went exactly, matter of fact, opposite of what we told them to do. They went and done it anyway. That's really what happened, Nick, is they went, and even though I told you, don't go do this, they went anyway. And here he comes with his head down, like a dog, his tail between his legs, we talked about. Look at him coming home. And here he comes home. How easy it would have been to say, stood up there and said, I told you exactly what I told you, and look at you. You're dirty, you're poor, you have nothing, you're hungry, and here you come begging back. Folks, we need compassion when people's at their worst. That's what the story is teaching us. If we're going to be loving, we got the other word in there was he ran and kissed him. That's compassion. That's love. Sometimes we need to embrace people that's not at their best. Somebody come tell you a story that happened to me a few weeks back. This person has a problem with drugs in our community. They've had a problem for a long time with drugs. And they saw me coming out of a store here in town. And they come up. Wasn't long, I put my arm around them. And I talked to him. He was on drugs when I was talking to him. He was high. I don't know what you call it. He was affected by them, you could tell. And very easy to say, you know, you're destroying your life. What's wrong with you? Everybody's told him that. Matter of fact, I have. You're destroying your own life. What are you doing? But that one day I decided, I said, I'm going to go with this a little bit. I reached out, I put my arm around him. What do you need? What can we, and I included you in this, what can we do to help you? He's called me twice since that day. So he's reaching out. I don't know if it'll do any good or not. But stepping on his throat when it doesn't even good either. We have to have some compassion. So number one, love him. Number two, what about listening? How are we when we think about listening? I got a story on these notes somewhere if I can find it. About listening. After the sermon, a small boy asked his father what the minister did all week. His father said, a minister, yeah, y'all pay attention to this. A minister is very busy. There's much church work that has to be done. He has to go visit the shut-in people, go to the hospital to visit and to pray for those who are sick and having surgery. He talks to people who's having problems. He must pray a lot for people. And of course, he spends quite a bit of time preparing his sermon for next Sunday. Talking in public is hard work. The small son promptly replied, listening ain't easy either. Some of y'all, I see y'all this morning, it ain't easy. It ain't easy to listen. James 1 verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When our children come to Sunday school, when they come to vacation Bible school, when we come to worship service, each one of us, we learn about the two most important, I'm going to say it this way, it's not correct, okay? We learn about the two most important people in the world. Who are they? God. For our children, when we learn about God and we learn about Jesus, there is nothing greater than we can be learning. So we need to learn to listen in our lives and pay attention. Old boy's law is you don't need to learn anything. You don't learn anything the second time you kick by a mule. I like that. You don't learn anything the second time you get kicked by a mule. You should have learned it the first time. We need to listen. We need to listen to God's word. We need to listen to what God tells us. And we need to apply those things to our lives. And we need to be that person that we're loving and we're listening. And then the third one and finally is we're living the life that we need to be living. And that's really the challenge for each one of us. Are we going to live the life? I dare say there's not very many of us in here that do not know how we should live. I would say the majority of us know how we should live. I would go a step further and I would say that the majority of us knows where we fall short in our life. We know the things we do bad. We know those things. I would be willing to say that the majority of us is capable of knowing whether or not we're in the right relationship with God right now. Now, there might be some that don't know because of their age. But for the most part, everyone sitting in here knows whether or not you're a Christian. The Bible tells us what we have to do to be a Christian. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've got to be willing to turn from sin, repent of our sins, and decide, I'm not going to live that way anymore. And that's really what we've been talking about this morning. Norris read for us about our living, the things we give up. And we know whether we're willing to confess Jesus as our Savior. And then we're baptized for the remission of our sins. And there are those in here that's not a Christian. And if we can plead with you and we can encourage you to step out of that aisle and come forward and put the Lord on in baptism. And we're going to do that in just a minute when we stand and sing. But every one of us sitting in here this morning knows, if we're old enough to know, we know if our heart is right with God. We know whether we've lived faithful to God or not. We know whether we're that loving, compassionate person. We know whether we listen to God and we apply it to our lives, or whether we just let it go in one ear and out the other. And we go ahead, even though we heard God, we go ahead and live how we want to. You know, there's many verses that we could talk about when it talks about living a Christian life. But the one that sticks with me pretty good, that I think about often, is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 26. It says, if we sin willfully. In other words, if we willfully decide that I'm going to keep living in sin, there remains no more sacrifice. That's really scary. Because I don't know about you, but I need some sacrifice in my life. I need Jesus' blood in my life every day of my life. Because I make some mistakes. Here this morning, you're not a Christian, you're here, you've been unfaithful. If you're here, you need encouragement, won't you come?
Come to Jesus.